Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, Blog Talk listeners. Welcome to the Women's Veterans Thrift Boutique Radio Talk Show. Ah, that's a mouthful. I'm your host, Nevaeh. And we are a new show at this time on Blog Talk, and we have a call-in number of area code 657-383-1292. To join the show, please dial that number and press 1, and I'll be glad to bring you in with any questions or comments you may have about today's subject. Or you can log into blogtalkradio.com and become a guest and join us in the chat room and type in your comments. I'm a founder of the Women's Veterans Thrift Boutique. Our website is www.womenveteranstb.org. You can also find us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/Nevaeh with three A's at the end. And Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/sowingaseed. This thrift boutique is a nonprofit that helps women veterans and widows of veterans with clothing and with their struggle in transitioning into civilian lifestyle. Some women veterans return to the United States jobless and homeless and need help getting back into the everyday life of things. My co-host is Patty, and her last initials are WL. She will give firsthand knowledge of being a female veteran. Patty is a retired third-class petty officer that served in the Vietnam era. She served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. She has a BA in computer science and worked as an instructor. She taught entry-level computer skills and advanced levels for various software. She also worked with nonprofits training the unemployed and the underemployed people. She trained them in the computer and software skills. Patty volunteers for several organizations and enjoys participating in company activities. Patty has a wealth of experience and knowledge of what the struggles are for women that serve to keep our country safe and return home to this type of welcome. Every few jobs for veterans, very few, and very few and little housing. Hello, Patty. We want to welcome you on board. Thank you for joining us with the show today.
Hi, Nevaeh, and thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really looking forward to discussing the topic that you have today.
All righty. Patty was very helpful in bringing up this topic today and finding the information that we needed to get this going. The title is Alcohol Refined as a Weapon in Military Sexual Assault Cases. What I'm going to do is try and read briefly the article that was taken from the military.com news section. This is an online news section that you can find. Okay. The alcohol, rum, vodka, wine, hard cider listed in the latest allegation of sexual assault between Air Force Academy cadets is being viewed in a new way by military and civilian prosecutors. Alcohol for years has been seen as a contributing factor in rapes, and it is thought to play a role in nearly half of the almost 6,000 sexual assaults. Oh, my goodness, Patty, can you imagine the numbers?
I know, it's mind-boggling, isn't it, Nevaeh?
Yes. This was reported across the Defense Department last year, but the role alcohol plays has significantly been redefined. They call it a weapon. This is said by Catherine Booth, Chief Trial Deputy and Chief of the Boulder District Attorney's Sexual Assault Unit. Booth said, the charge comes from the realization that perpetrators are more likely to use alcohol to subdue their sexual assault victims, then guns, threats, and fists. So that's the new weapon, and that makes sense to me. If you're inebriated and not knowing what you're doing, that would be a weapon. They don't need any other defense, any other way of controlling you. Alcohol tries to sexual assault comes in focus again in January with the arrest of Air Force Academy junior cadet Daniel Ryerson. He's charged in the state court with sexually assaulting an inebriated female classmate after a night of party hopping in Boulder, Colorado on November the 1st. Ryerson, 21 years old, who police said is linked to the case by DNA evidence, is due in court later this month. This was printed February the 2nd of 2015. In December, Pentagon report, the military calls alcohol a weapon in its latest sexual assault prevention guidance for commanders, echoing a statement made by the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel in May. Hagel ordered a review of alcohol policies in a bid to quell sexual assaults. They include a department-wide review of institutional alcohol policies, which will be revised when it's necessary to change the risk that alcohol poses to others, including the risk that alcohol is used as a weapon against victims in the predatory way.
Predatory
way, okay. At the Air Force Academy and other military bases, workers who have served alcohol in clubs are being told to watch out for those who would use booze as a weapon, says Lieutenant Colonel Kirsten. I can't pronounce the last name, Riemann, an Air Force spokesman at the Pentagon. Another step requires commanders to work with community partners on responsible alcohol sales practices and bystanders intervention training for alcohol servers. Raymond wrote in the email to the Gazette, a 2013 Pentagon report on sexual assaults at service academies show alcohol played a role in the latest of a third of incidents. However, alcohol likely plays a much bigger role than that which is depicted in reported incidents before. The newer report on military academy sexual assault is due out of this month after an unexplained month-long delay. That's interesting. Last week, the academy leaders sat through a presentation on sexual assault and the new way and the new view of alcohol's role to the academy website. Basically, I don't want to read the entire, because it's kind of lengthy, but basically, Patty, what are they saying?
Okay, well, I'm sure you're as well aware as I am that alcohol is used not only in civilian life, but in the military, partly because people get alcohol easier, and it is used as a weapon because it's a lot easier than trying to beat somebody up or use a knife or a gun to subdue them. It's just like a child sexual predator. They're going to offer kids candy or find their doggy or something to lure them away. Well, people use alcohol as a way to lure people into drinking it and becoming unfocused, and then they use that as a way to take advantage of them. And so I believe in a nutshell that is why alcohol truly is a weapon in sexual assault crimes.
Well, what do you say to the fact that they say, well, you still have to be accountable and responsible, nobody poured the liquor down your throat? What do you say to that?
I know, and that's unfortunate, and that is another reason I think that fewer people, especially women, who suffer from sexual assault, they blame themselves for their inability to stay sober, or they blame themselves because they put themselves in a situation where they were drunk and they got taken advantage of. And so it always falls back on the woman as the one who has to explain away why this happened to her, instead of taking it to the example that the man who provided the alcohol knew exactly what he was doing. He did it deliberately. His plan from the go was to get this girl drunk and get her somewhere secluded and take advantage of her.
So it's basically like a premeditated murder. You've already made the plans in advance. So all you have to do is act it out and hope that you have a willing party. It's not funny, but I'm just saying, they're premeditating this whole thing and getting it all lined up so that the whole act will take place. What's a wingman? They started talking about a wingman. What's that?
Well, a wingman is like your, I don't want to say partner in crime because that's not true, but a wingman is like someone to go out with. You know how when you were a young woman or young guys, you'll go out in groups. And a wingman is somebody that watches your back and makes sure you don't get too drunk, that picks up the guys or the girls, depending on what your sex is, and says, oh, look at that guy over there, or oh, look at that girl over there. But that's not their sole purpose. Their sole purpose beyond that is to make sure that you get to and from where you're going safely, and if there's any problems, like somebody starts to fight with you or whatever, I'm kind of speaking from a man's point of view right that second, but you know what I'm saying? They're just supposed to be your backup, basically.
So that's like a designated driver somewhat?
Yeah, kind of like a designated driver, but they're probably in the club with you and drinking too, so it's not that they are a designated driver. They're just someone who is with you in case there's a problem or in case, you know, you need an advocate or just a partner in crime even.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But this is what got me, Nevaeh, was that during this article, they talk about this woman who was sexually assaulted, and she was sexually assaulted by the person she chose as her wingman, which was a young man that they found the DNA evidence on. And the really sad thing is that she trusted him. He was her wingman.
Yeah.
He was supposed to make sure she stayed safe. And what he had in actuality did was he pumped her full of booze and took her into a bathroom at a party and assaulted her. And then when they left the locked bathroom after a 20-minute time span, carrying her out, that's how inebriated she was. She was completely without any of her faculties. She couldn't even walk. And so,
oh, my goodness.
So that's why they suggest that you have even more than one wingman. And believe me, this guy, I do believe, had it planned. I think he said he'd be your wingman the whole time, knowing that he was going to offer her drink after drink after drink and under the pretense that he had her back. And he really didn't have her back. He just was waiting for the opportunity to take advantage of her.
Wow, that's unfortunate. Do you find that we can't say that because this is an academy. I was wondering, do you find that it's a situation that the rape takes place mainly when you're in a place where there aren't many women? That's what a lot of questions are asked.
Well, everyone who knows the military, especially women veterans, know that you're always outnumbered. You're always going to be the minority, no matter where you're stationed. Excuse me, no matter what your job to do in the military is, you're always going to be more men than women. And sure, a person has to take responsibility for themselves, but as it stands, there are a lot of people they're just outnumbered, and so they're at a greater risk because you think it's okay to party with people, and you think that and alcohol runs rampant in the military because different places that you're stationed have different drinking ages. The drinking rules and regs change wherever you are. And if you go to a different country, that may even be a further difference. So I think you're more exposed to alcohol. I think the alcohol is more accepted in the military. And I think because there is the disparity between men and women, a huge disparity, and women are necessarily going to find it at times that they're going to be with a group of men partying because they want to party. And because there are just so many less women, then they're just automatically a minority.
Yes. So that's their way of partying, and the alcohol with the partying, you know, is their way of just releasing the stress that they go through with the military duties that they have.
Absolutely.
You know, I went to an all-boys school. It was the university, and they were just starting to go co-ed. And ironically, I don't think this would be something that would be approved, but what they did was on the meals, they would put some type of that would decrease the sexual drive.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was wondering if they could use it. Yes.
I was wondering if they
could do that in the service.
That's why I'm laughing, because I went to boot camp in Orlando, Florida, and of course there's a huge disparity between men and women there, and they would put this substance in all the food there, and that was a way to minimize interaction between the men and women, and also to keep the men, what do we want to call them, desires or
their libido
at bay.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. At bay, somewhat, and it was kind of a running joke. But the thing about the alcohol is that it's kind of societal too. Like when you're in a situation where you have different people from all walks of life, from all different country, then you have to find a way to bond, and you have to admit drinking does help eliminate people's inhibitions. And if you're in a situation that's stressful or new to you or foreign, or you just don't feel you're not in your comfort zone, then people use alcohol as a stress reliever and as a way to
relax,
break the tension and relax. And especially if you're in a combat area, for example, you're seeing things that you're not used to seeing, you're experiencing things that you never thought you'd experience, and you're in a really stressful situation, then you buddy up with somebody and you have some drink. It doesn't take too long before, you know, somebody takes it to the next level and takes it somewhere you may not necessarily have wanted it to go.
What about the training, part of training? I mean, I know they go through a lot of training. You went through a lot of training just to become what you were in the service. But what about training and the respectability, having respect for each other's sexuality and just knowing, you know, as far as how to treat another individual, you know, in a relationship, that respect would maybe stop you from even thinking along those thoughts that you could just take someone, you know, the virtuality and take that from them, or even if they aren't virtuous, just put yourself on them to satisfy yourself. You know, is there training that's available in the service along that line?
There actually, during the time that I was in, which was the 70s, there certainly was not. In fact, most sexual trauma and assault that occurred was what they call scrubbed. You may tell somebody that they would either not report it, or when it would get to the next level up, it would somehow disappear. And so you really couldn't count on anyone to make sure that your well-being was kept at hand. But I think times have changed, and I think both sexes have gained a lot in understanding one another and finding how important respect is for each other. And I think especially since now men and women are fighting side by side, sweating side by side, bleeding side by side, dying side by side, then they have more have an understanding of how each other operates. And I think that's, you know, that's going to be a big step in finding somehow or other to calm these assaults. And since they've dropped so much in the last couple of years, it seems to be working. Whatever kind of training they're giving them now seems to be working. I think that they want to make the young people that are in the military feel like adults and behave like adults. So they give them chances to prove themselves and chances to be adults rather than keeping them secluded and sequestered away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Well, wow, that's a wealth of information. I appreciate you giving your viewpoints on this, and it does really clarify a lot of things that, you know, have been thought about this situation. I have some comments that were also made on the website with in regard to the article, and I'd like to read some of them. They don't give their names. They just give numbers, you know, and that's for their own security. But anyway, these are cadets that are referring to the making comments about the article. And one mm-hmm. cadet says here, another reason they used to keep the troops sober, I never understood how an 18-year-old can vote, drive, get married, fight for his country, but cannot be trusted to have a drink. Makes me sick that some idiots who never wore uniform make up these rules. And this country, a free country, if you were old enough to serve and do so, you should be allowed to have a drink. That was one comment that was made about the, and we're not saying you're not allowed to have a drink. We're just talking about controlling yourself after that.
Yeah, that's obviously from someone who really wanted a drink.
Yeah, and then another answer in regards to his comment said, maybe Kool-Aid would be better, and they have LOL, so they're making comedy. Yeah, then person, his name was Eskimo 8. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. And I don't know what that's coming about, but I think I have an idea. Another comment was, I don't follow the logic. If alcohol is a weapon on par with a firearm, are they saying that the perpetrator is forcing the victim to shoot themselves? No one is forced to get drunk. And that's a comment that I was saying, and you explained that so well.
Yeah, see, I think that's completely the wrong way of him thinking. Of course, it's ridiculous to think. I mean, this person's just being ridiculous. To try to say that you're making somebody shoot themselves by giving them alcohol is ridiculous. The person, what I'm trying to say is that the person that deliberately takes something, and, you know, this isn't new. They used to call them Mickey Thins and things, where somebody would Mickey your drink, and they still do it. There's a date rape drug that happens all the time. And so if you deliberately serve alcohol after alcohol after alcohol, and you're trying to make it a fun, like a game almost, or you're trying to, you know, help someone overindulge with the sole purpose of then when they're less cognizant of their activity and their themselves, to take advantage of them. It's ridiculous to think that doesn't happen.
Yes, I agree. This is another comment. It says, why are the cadets drinking in the first place? The hardworking American taxpayer is paying for college education, room, board, clothing, job training with a career path to a good life. They are asked for about 9 months to for each of the 4 years to go and, for 4 years to work their butts off and do whatever it takes to graduate as a cream of the crop and lock the place down, put a fence up between the males and females, and get your sorry ass to work. No drinking. This is a father who's making a comment. Of course, this has nothing to do with the combat field, but he's making a comment of why these cadets are, you know, doing all this, getting in the news about these rapes. And
well, see, I think there's there's kind of a hard line that needs to be drawn. It's true. When a young person comes in at 18 and you're expecting them to fight for their country and potentially die for their country, you have to give them some kind of credence in that they're adults. And you want them to act responsibly, and you want them to be mature, and you want them to be trusted, and you put a lot on them to go out there and learn how to use these weapons and learn how to do this and that. And then, on one hand, you say, okay, well, you can't drink. That's asking a lot, because you do want them to have some responsibility, and you are expecting a lot of them in the military itself. But on the other hand, how many 18-year-olds do you know that use common sense 100% of the time? You know what I mean? I mean, 18-year-olds are not known for having common sense 100% of the time. It's kind of one step forward, two steps back sometimes. Growing up is that way. Nothing is ever cut and dried when it comes to human nature.
Yeah, I totally agree. And a lot of them, they're taking it to the extreme. They're not saying don't drink. They're just saying, let's not perform these rapes. You know, this is what the bottom line is. Why do you have to take it to that? Okay, you're drinking and you feel good, and naturally you've been away from your girlfriend or your wife or whoever. But still, does that justify the fact that you're just going to satisfy yourself by letting another human being, whether it's male or female, you know, be the your choice of destroying their lives? Because mentally, it's awful. A lot of people have been stopped from doing so many things in their lives because of the experience that they have experienced under, you know, attack or being raped, and then have to keep it quiet and not report it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you know, there's a complete difference between consensual sex and one that's brought on by one person and only wanted by one person. And it can be traumatizing, and it can affect you your entire life. In fact, you may find that you're able to cope and put it in the back of your mind and, you know, think you've forgotten it. But then once your ability to hold it in, like maybe stress, maybe you lose your job, maybe you and your husband separate, or your wife separates, maybe your kids grow up and move out. Suddenly you've got this empty spot and this time to think, and it's right back in your mind like it happened yesterday. And so it not only affects you at that moment, but it can and will affect you for years to come.
Yeah. Well, I pray that you know, some solution will come of this. And it shouldn't be all on the person who's being raped to not enjoy life. And I'm not saying getting drunk is enjoying life, but I'm saying having a drink. And, you know, it's so sad. But I think that we have covered this subject as best as we can. And if there are any other comments, feel free to call in. And if not during this show, then feel free to leave a comment or during our on our emails. And Patty, I can't thank you enough. This has been just great, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show as my co-host and be able to, you know, help me, because this is a life that I did not experience, and with your wealth of knowledge and with your experience, I think that we might be able to answer some of the questions that may come up in the future. So you have a fantastic day, and thank you again for your time, and looking forward to you being the co-host of this show.
I'm sorry. I'd like to tell you thank you for inviting me, and it's been a real pleasure to work with you. You're a great, great person. You also have a wealth of knowledge, and between us both, maybe we can throw together some things that people will find interesting and find usable in their everyday lives or in the lives that they have now or in the future.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to end with our music at this time. Looking forward
Goodbye,
to seeing
everyone.
You again. Bye.
Okay, bye.